Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Time for What Are You Doing, Wagner? Our look around the world and what people are doing during the pandemic. Out of isolation, should still be in isolation, there's no isolation. Speaking of isolation, the NBA released its Coach of the Year voting. Nick Nurse got 90 of 100 first place votes. So it was a runaway. Nick Nurse is your NBA Coach of the Year, followed by Mike Budenholzer of Milwaukee, Billy Donovan of Oklahoma City. Mark Grody, the Jim Boylan faction did not get a vote for first, second, or third place. Zero votes in Coach of the Year. Jim Boylan did call a late timeout in the voting, but when they resumed, he was still shut out. So I just thought I'd pass that cheap shot along because he deserves it. At this point in time when we are doing What Are You Doing, Wagner, we check in on the status of Let Me Put Together a List. I wasn't sure if it was on hiatus, if you'd come up, you'd solve creative differences, you'd come up with a new idea, because I'm old and I forget. So update us, Mark.
Brian and I recorded our season one finale for Let Me Put a List Together, and it was famous entertainment cars. Think, you know, the A-Team van, the Batmobile, the DeLorean, and Back to the Future. So we did, I think it was top 12 or 13, something like that. So we did that, and then Brian and I have decided to take a little bit of time off to work on solo projects and the like, and we are going to come back strong, hopefully, if we can get our heads back together in September for season two. And I can't tell you yet specifically what it is, but we are adding a twist to season two. There might be other popular people involved in what we do in season two, and Let Me Put a List Together. So it's all in the working. Ooh. Brian and I are taking a break from each other. Yep. And the process, it's a process. You know what I mean? It's a creative process that goes on.
Trust the process.
And, trust the process. And my focus right now is 100% solo projects and sports. So that's where we are with things right now. Speaking of sports, this is What Are You Doing, Wagner? So we could talk about anything we want.
Right.
There is a popular notion out there, or a very popular thing to say, and that is, boy, wouldn't it be great if we had a Cubs-White Sox World Series? Nobody really wants a Cubs-White Sox World Series in Chicago. Nobody truly wants that. If you are a diehard White, check me out. If you are a diehard Cubs fan or a diehard White Sox fan, deep down inside, you don't want that stress, because It would be pure stress watching if you are a Cubs fan or a Sox fan. I would say the Cubs would have more to lose, but at this point it would be completely stressful and intense and bothersome. There's nothing fun sounding. Like, it would be a spectacle. It would be interesting, but there is nothing fun about the idea of a Cubs White Sox World Series. It is pure stress, pure probably anger. It would get caustic. It could get physical. There's nothing good about it, Steve. Nothing.
Well, aren't you the optimistic sort of the something we've never seen in our lifetime?
I mean, really,
it's tough enough
about
to get one team to the World Series, and you don't want both to make them.
I'm not saying I don't want it. I'm just saying it would not be fun. Like, people, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be a lot of fun to see the cut? No. It would be interesting, but it would mostly be stressful. And it's actually really good that I would suspect that there still won't be fans allowed by the time there is a World Series, and that people in general, we have been quelled from being in bars and restaurants and on the streets in general. So I think that's a good thing. It would just be a lot of stress and nerves and not really healthy for people. And one fan base will be really happy and the other one will be dejected and non-existent for a long time. So there's Steve. Nothing good about it.
Right. The fear of losing.
That's what is driving
all of this. So if there were, there are no fans, but what if there were a Cubs, a friend, one of my guys at Trader Joe's, Wino said that he thought that he heard tickets on the street were going for the Cubs Sox this weekend were going for $1,000, and he was lucky to get them for $500. but the idea of a Cubs Sox World Series, and again, there's no fans there. What would you imagine the StubHub price, the scalper price would be? What would be the street price of those tickets?
Well, honestly, I'm asking this honestly because I was fortunate enough to be a broadcaster during 2016 with the Cubs, so I was there on a free ride. What were tickets going for a Cubs World Series game in 2016? I would say that plus like $5,000.
Only 5,000? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
If it was Cubs Sox?
Okay. Yeah, if it's Cubs Sox. So whatever it was for a World Series ticket at Wrigley Field in 2016 plus 5,000, then that adds inflation and that adds the White Sox factor. I would say 2016 Cubs World Series plus 5,000.
Okay. All right.
What do you think?
It's an unimaginable number. I don't recall what the 2016 numbers were. I would imagine Cub fans paid a ton to get into Cleveland to get it for game 6 and 7 there. I don't know.
Mr. Roseo, will you please look up for us what a Cubs World Series ticket on the street was going for?
What are you doing, Wagner? Okay, this might be the greatest clapback retweet in sports ever. There's a guy named John McClain, works out of Houston. He's the Houston football writer, not the John McClain from Die Hard character.
Yippee-ki-yay.
John, I think, is in the Hall of Fame. He's a Dan Pompey type. So he tweeted at a Arizona Cardinals blog, "Is DeAndre Hopkins holding out?" And then DeAndre Hopkins, who was traded from Houston to Arizona, retweeted John McClain with this comment, "No, DeAndre Hopkins is not holding out," from the source.
What are you doing, Wagner?
Good for him. From a texter here, "Totally disagree with Grody on the idea of a Crosstown World Series. The winning side will have an entire year to rub it into the losing side. There, it's too much fun to be had, even if it is stressful getting there. Caneville gal." I disagree. I think it would be very stressful.
Now, this isn't a caller calling in, but breaking news for your request a moment ago, Mr. Grody. Per CBSSports.com, game one out in Cleveland was about $1,700. Game three at Wrigley, secondary market prices were about $4,500.
Do we have anything on game seven, since that was it? That was the...
Yeah, game seven was just over $3,500.
So it was less for game seven than game three, than the first World Series game at Wrigley, than anyone can...
It wasn't Cleveland, so...
Right, but the Cubs were there. The Cubs travel really well. Yes. Perhaps you've heard, Julio.
Yeah, like the Grateful Dead. Yeah, they travel everywhere.
Yeah. Speaking of that, okay. Well, thank you. So then, Mark, you're talking whatever inflation is. So you'd figure $9,000 a ticket.
Yeah, by Grody math, it would be not Sox math. Here it comes.
Here it comes. So
Grody math says, yeah, $9,000.
Yeah,
carry on.
Pay me. Yeah. So someone named Scott, I have no idea, it's just the Twitter address Scott, tweeted out, still ashamed of myself for going to a Rage Against the Machine concert 10 years ago. Now here's your music clap back, much like your pro football clap back. So Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine retweeted this comment, we were sorry you came as well. Tom Morello, love him, wonderful musician, and even a better Twitter experience. Gord Miller, and Gord is the ultimate Canadian name. It is the quintessential Canadian name. He's on TSN, the sports network. It's sort of the ESPN of Canada.
Hey, Gord.
One of the things you're getting is in these bubbles, in these empty arenas, is players are mic'd and the mics are closer and uninterfered with by fans. There's nobody cheering, right? So you're getting some raw stuff. It was always there when you mic'd up players, but there was a delay or you had to get an okay. You had to go through more hoops. And he tells this story, Gordon Miller of TSN tells the story that some were talking about censorship, and he was referring to the FCC and Canada's version of the FCC about using foul language and being reasonable in preventing it. And he said, when we used to mic players, the NHL had a person on site to monitor what went on the air. And a young person from Texas is who that person was. One night, the mic caught a player saying, you effing piece of bleep, I'm going to jam my stick down your effing throat. And she calmly says, well, y'all can't use that. I love that. That's
it. That's awesome.
Perfect censor. I once worked for a guy years and years and years ago. I was working my way through college, and I was at a radio station, and the guy who was the morning man for about the fourth time there, he kept getting fired, going away, coming back, and doing, he was sort of the Dan McNeil of his time, and he was a legend out in L.A., and it was Dick Whittington, and he was known as Sweet Dick, and Jesus. He also happened to be a writer on Laugh-In, Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. He was one of the many staff writers they had, and if you're old like me, you remember a part of Laugh-In where they had the cocktail party, and the music would be going, then it would stop, and somebody would deliver a line, or somebody would stop dancing and deliver a line, somebody would open a door and deliver a line. And this is where he said they learned to play the censors, that they would put in five jokes that would be automatically rejected, so that they could get in the five that they knew were on the border that would have been rejected had the first five not been there.
Yeah.
So they knew how to game the system. I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's a lesson for life. Carry that forward. And I have.
We all remember Tom Brenneman. Do we still remember him?
Yeah, we could talk about that. That was between Tom Brenneman and Mike Milbury. It's been a bad week for old white guys with old sicknesses.
So, I didn't realize how powerful that word was.
Well, how about today's episode of Sesame Street is brought to you by the letters B and S. So share with the class what Tom Brenneman did, I'll share with the class what Mike Milbury did, and we can discuss the old white guys and old sicknesses.
Well, Tom Brenneman used a gay slur in what he thought was off mic, but it turned out it was not off mic. And yeah, he said this is the bleep capital of the country, I think is what he said. And the word starts with F, and it's a three-letter word, and it's a gay slur. So you know the word, I think, to which I am referring. And he said that. And then he found out that he was caught, and then he goes on. I'd like to give a real apology here. There's a home run by Nick Castellan. So he did apologize, and I actually thought the apology was pretty good and that he didn't do a typical wait for somebody else to write the apology. So I do think he felt bad, and I do think that the apology was pretty good, and I appreciate that he did that. And then just kind of walked, dropped the mic, and, you know, it was kind of like Hawk here. I'm going downstairs. Tom's like, I'm going to go get my car and go home. He has, as a matter of fact, I'm being told by Julio Arceo that we have the audio. So
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Well,
you won't.
Yeah, He gets it. He gets the trouble that he's in. And Fox National, where he did the NFL broadcasts, he is off of that, and it's still pending with the Reds. My guess is that they'd like to keep Tom Brenneman on. So he is currently suspended unless something has happened in the last 10 minutes that I haven't seen. And in cases like this, I would prefer to hear from the LGBTQ community, the gay community, to hear what they think. To hear what, because I had somebody that was gay tell me that they think they should let him keep his job, but that he should become a symbol for what not to say and an advocate for LGBTQ, and, you know, stick with it. So I don't know. That's what that's who I'd prefer to hear from on this. I did appreciate the apology that Tom Brenneman gave, though.
Mike Milbury on NBC was doing his typical bad job of broadcasting as a color man, and he was talking about Brian Boucher, who was between the glass. He was talking about the bubble environment that they're in, and talking about Boucher says, if you think about it, it's a terrific environment with regard to if you enjoy playing and enjoy being with your teammates for long periods of time, it's a perfect place. It's about bonding and things we've heard. It's like a giant road trip. You hear players talk about road trips. And Mike Milbury said, it's the perfect place. Not even any women here to disrupt your concentration. You know, it is, Mike Milbury has grown more and more useless, and every time you heard him on a game doing analysis, you wondered why NBC was submitting itself to such horror, to such F-level analysis and broadcasting, and you have a coterie of people who would be more interesting. And not to be mean or to be ironic, but if you've ever heard AJ Molesko, she, a member of the 1998 U.S. women's hockey team, the gold medal team in Nagano, Harvard educated. If you've ever heard her on a broadcast, you've ever
Love
heard
it.
Kendall Coyne Schofield, you know they're so far advanced in getting the gig, knowing how it works, knowing how to describe it. Milbury cannot do that job. And here he is, insulting women. An old trope, an old bad joke, an old sickness that just plays upon it. And NBC suspended him from Friday's game. Unfortunately only removed him from the broadcast for Friday. I don't know where this goes, but they just said he's not working. The NHL addressed it with a comment, and Milbury's own apology was, he said he's sincere, which means he's not. It was not his intention to disrespect anyone. Really, dude? Did you think about it? I was trying to be irreverent and took it a step too far. it was an old bad joke. So
What are you doing, Wagner?
Yeah. A texter says to me, and this is actually a good question I want to address. From the 773, a man of faith, they always use that as a barrier from their true feelings. Appreciate the apology. Come on, Mark. And this is per Tom Brenneman. You're right about that part. I don't like it when they inject that. Yeah, being a man of faith in any religion really means nothing. The part that I appreciated, maybe not the apology itself, that he made the apology, that he did it without waiting for advice from his agents, from the Reds, from the publicity people. Now, he has since done that because he went in the Cincinnati Inquirer, and he's apologizing to anybody he can get in front of right now, and I'm sure that is advice from people. But I'm just saying that I'm glad he didn't read a scripted apology or have somebody read the apology for him. He at least did something which is relatively unique in real time, made the apology off the top of his head. So that... I want to clarify that. Good question, though, from the texter. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So that was that part of it. I have some other things for what are you doing, Wagner? And then something else that happened in baseball that I didn't know we were approaching a particular accomplishment, a particular milestone. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back with a variety of things that will entertain you for your sports. Tickle your sports funny bone and maybe not tickle your sports funny bone. And we'll also discuss a good day to die. There is a good day to die. You may not have known that, but there is.
Is that a James Bond movie?
Yes, a good day to die, Mr. Bond. Any day
it
you die
like a James
is a
Bond
good
movie,
day to die, Mr. Bond. I'm going to tell you exactly how you're going to die, Mr. Bond, and when you're going to die. And I'm going to talk long enough for you to figure out a way out of it, and then we'll extend the movie, Mr. Bond. Goodbye.
Very good, Mr. Bond. But
by
you forgot
the way,
one thing.
Yes, you forgot one thing. I have to extend this movie another 100 pages. We did have a texter who decided and really did an excellent job of tying this together and thought that somebody should find the reliever, Mr. Dr. Kimball, and make him a bit of a dance party. I think we need Dr. Kimball and a bit of a dance party. So maybe that's your closer, Dr. Kimball.
I'm always pro that. You know that, brother.
I know. All right. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum.
Unlock me!
Saturday Suckage, and it continues, whether you like it or not, until 2 o'clock. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hashtag SoxMath.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
What are you doing, Wagner?
Yes, sir. Everyone into the pool segment. On Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Rosenblum and Brody. What are you doing, Wagner? And by the way, do you know who turns 81 today? Mark, and you know...
Larry King.
No, nobody turns 81 like this guy. You know who turned 81 the best, Mark?
Who?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Come on, we're doing...
Yes.
What are you doing, Wagner?
81 years old.
81. 81.
Yes, what's going on, buddy?
At Rogers Place, in Edmonton, where the Blackhawks were run out of the playoffs, and the bubble continues. I hadn't seen this. Greg Wyshynski had retweeted this. I hadn't known this was going on, but he's writes pucks for ESPN. He tweeted a picture of the message board, the video board, in which the NHL says, at the conclusion of tonight's game, please exit your couch safely.
That's the world in which we live.
Yeah, it is. That's it. That's so true.
Let me tell you about pandemics.
Jason Kirk, who fancies himself the cornhole expert for This American Life, had retweeted this tweet from about Texas football. Now, Texas is going to... It talks about how sick, I think, college football is. That Texas's home football schedule was released recently, and the games are sponsored. Like, there's the UTEP game is presented by Equipment Depot. TCU game is presented by St. David's Healthcare. And this remark wraps it all up from Jason Kirk. Amateur sports making TV money for the richest athletic department during the plague in a game sponsored by hospitals.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep, that's where you are with that kind of sportsmanship. The
Wagner?
Sponsorship, yeah. So anyways, the best day to die, or the worst day to die. You could look. It depends how you look at it. Do you want to be the most famous person on the day you die, or do you want to be just a bat boy at an all-star game of deaths? Which way would you go with that?
What was the question? I'm sorry. I was returning a text message.
I'm sorry to get in the way.
Not my personal text.
One of our comedy bits.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to set up my Saturday night. I was texting with a listener.
What was share with us?
Well, yeah. I can share it. No, it was actually because this was a good ending, because usually a lot of these text interactions are not positive stories. So here's a positive one. It was from the 773 that said, "Thanks for addressing that, Mark. Always weird to text a radio show, but I appreciate the clarification. Dig the show since the Wake and Bake days." And so I just wrote back, "Yup! Exclamation point. Text anytime." And he was the one that called me out on the Vaughn Brenneman apology, and I clarified that I only like the fact that he gave the apology, not necessarily the content of it. So that was it was kind of just a really warm, fuzzy interaction I just had with a 773 texter who's a longtime score guy and a longtime Wake and Bake guy. So what was your question again?
Okay, so a good day to die, Mr. Bond, or a bad day to die. Do you want to be the most famous person on any particular day of the calendar when you die, or do you want to be just a bat boy at an all-star game on a day of all-star deaths? Because we just had what may be the greatest death day. We just passed that.
Do I want the competition of dying on the same day as other popular people?
Yeah.
Is that what you're
saying? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I want mine to be special. I want mine to be thought about. Yeah. I want to be all alone.
Then don't die on August 16th of whatever year that might happen. We just passed that. And that is the death day of the likes of Babe Ruth, Elvis Presley.
Dead.
Aretha Franklin.
Dead.
Bela Lugosi.
Dead.
Margaret Mitchell, Gone with the Wind author.
D.E.D. Dead.
Then cross him off, then. And the creator of Coca-Cola, August 16th.
Wow.
I actually did try to go look up when I saw that. I said, so is this the greatest death day? And I couldn't figure out how to make the Twitter machine work to present it to me. Somebody smarter than me, and there are a lot of people ahead of me in line on that count, could probably figure it out. But that's a pretty good look at the cross section of people there. Babe, Elvis, Aretha, Bela Lugosi, Gone with the Wind writer, and the creator of Coca-Cola. So that's a pretty good death day.
Let me localize that a little bit for you, because I think about this in that Johnny Red Kerr and Stormin' Norm Van Leer passed away on the same day, right?
Yes.
They did. And so
not just any random like February 22nd or whatever it was. It was that exact same day, and not in different years, those days. That was quite a rocking day.
Yeah, and they resonated similarly with fans in Chicago as very kind of local heroes that had some obviously national attention and love, but very similar, you know, kind of rah-rah guys for the city and specifically for the Bulls. So I felt a little bad for those guys just because of that their time, that their day had to be split amongst the attention. And I don't know that they would care or that their families would care, but when that day rolls around, it is about both of them instead of about just one of them, you know? Wouldn't you want your own day? I wouldn't want my own
day.
Yeah,
but I knew I'd never get it. I'm never going to be the most famous person dying on whatever day I die. So I'm not...
Good point.
I'm not worried. And again, like you said, they won't know. They're not around to hear it or not hear it. It's just, that's it. You're done. Moving right along. Nothing to see here. And there was a baseball accomplishment this week that I didn't know it needed to be accomplished. There was a milestone reach that I don't think somebody knew because they marked it down and they were waiting for it. And it's the oddest thing I'd ever heard. But here it is. The Yankees on Thursday called up Miguel Zahure. That's the pitcher they called him up. And they issued him uniform number 89. To that point, until Thursday, number 89 is the only number from 0 to 99 that had never been worn in a major league game. Never worn in a major league regular season game. I didn't check to see if he'd got it in the last couple of days. Oh, no, the Yankees and Mets were canceled because of the virus. But that is the last jersey. The last three numbers all came up this season, 86, 89, and 92. Numbers that had never been worn in games. And the Cardinals checked off 92 with Genesis Cabrera and Jesus Cruz, who wore 86. So that left 89, and that is Zahure, and he's got a pitch in a game, and we will have had every number in Major League Baseball represented at some point in time from 0 to 99. I never knew we were waiting on that, Mark.
That's great. Knew. Well, you know, the Yankees have no single-digit numbers available anymore because they all done been retired. So I can see that. It's perfect that it's the Yankees. Have you noticed, by the way, with the St. Louis Cardinals that they again have those guys that you haven't heard of that are damaging the Cubs? Brad Miller and Max Schrock. It's like the Cardinals are doing that thing again.
Yes, they are. They're doing the Randall Grichuk thing, which is...
Yes. Right.
Just like, come on, this isn't real. You just, what'd you do? You just cloned him, right? Same person, right. Saying, yeah.
Exactly.
That's what they did. Yeah, they're doing that thing. They're doing that thing. So so that was the number. Something else that happened this week. The Tatis slam, so much went into that and went around that. I want to talk about that. We'll take a break.
Really?
We'll come back and we'll close up anything, loose ends that we need to, or just fill space. And before we close, what are you doing, Wegner? I had this, the Newberry Library in town.
The Mike Milbury Library?
No, the Newberry Library. Oh. And I want to ask you if this is still a thing, but this was their tweet. When we reopen, we'll ask that you, A, wear a mask, B, wash your hands, C, not cut into the books to see if they're cake.
What?
Do you remember that? We went through that a couple weeks ago and it was all the rage that every inanimate object looked like cake. You would have, and they were worried that people would think their books are cake. You know, people would make a tire, like something that looked like a tire and cut into it. Oh, it's cake. Somebody would make a house. Oh, it's cake. You don't remember that? It was meme crazy. Everything.
I must have been returning a text message at that time because I don't remember.
Yes, you were. All right, go return your text messages.
All right.
We'll take a break and then we'll return for the rest of this suckage. Look, it's not for nothing that we're Saturday suckage, folks. We keep proving it to you, and we suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is in the air to right field. Back it goes. Nando has done it again. Fernando Tatis Jr., a grand slam. And the Padres go on top 14-3. Two home runs, seven RBIs for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports San Diego, or as it's now become, Slam Diego. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Will be sucking so you don't have to until 2 o'clock today. And that set off just a world of hurt and controversy. And it was in a rout of a game against the Rangers. And Fernando Tatis Jr., erstwhile Sox prospect, traded for James Shields. Oops, babe. 3-0 pitch, and he swings. Grand slam. So, it turns out everyone was wrong in that. Tatis was given the take sign. Jace Tingler, his manager, gave his best young player the take sign and told everyone about it after the game. And the Texas manager sounded like a weenie, made his team sound like a weenie, and was suspended for a game when one of his pitchers did the gutless thing of throwing behind Manny Machado. So everyone was wrong in that part, in that episode. But the cascade of comments that it brought about the idiocy of baseball's unwritten rules and the fact that you're supposed to lay down because the other team might be weenies because they're getting hammered. So among the comments, they didn't get a lot of play. Jack Flaherty, the Cardinals ace, don't like it. Don't fall behind 3-0. Pretty simple. Dontrell Willis, former Major League left-hander. Like they say in AAA, if you don't like the food, play better. I never heard that before.
Neither have I. That's so good.
If you don't like the food, play better.
You don't like the buses, play better. Yeah, I can see that.
So what did you think about that? What did you think?
I hated that day. I couldn't stand. I couldn't stand that day. It was horrible because it was everybody had the exact same opinion, right? Like so, and I agree. Like, allow it. It's okay. He swung on 3-0. Who cares? He hits a grand slam. I agree with you. Gutless to throw at Manny Machado. I agree. It was one of the worst days ever on social media. And there's been a lot of bad days just because it's no fun when everybody agrees and everybody being righteous about something. I just wanted to get through that day. And I got sick of reading everybody's opinions on it. And because when there is 100% agreement or compliance on something, then what's the point? Then you're just piling on. And there's almost like a bully mentality that happens. So I hated that day. I hated it.
I understand why you felt that way, feel that way, and why that will resonate with a lot of people. But I'll tell you why I think it's important that there was such a resounding, ratio, if you will, if I can use Twitter talk, it was such a resounding ratio, is that you're hearing people lobbying for showcasing the best there is in baseball at any point in time. You're not asking the best in the game, the flashiest in the game, the most entertaining in the game to lay down. Your job is to get them out if you're a pitcher, even if you're down 10 to nothing. They might hit 3-0. You shouldn't get down 3-0. There was such a unanimity about that and such a roar that I took it as a possibility as the week went on. That day was an echo, no question mark, you're right. But I took it as a hopeful echo that the idiots holding baseball back, the people who don't realize that the Jace Tinglers and the Woodwards of the world and people throwing at them and you're supposed to, the unwritten rules thing, that your average demographic in baseball is near deaf. And you can't survive as a sport when that's the case. And what's happening now between can you imagine Fernando Tatis Jr. and Tim Anderson on the same team?
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine? That would be blinding swag. That would be just swag squared. But that's what you want. That's entertainment. That's fun to watch. Don't we love watching Javi Baez?
Yeah, but let me add this.
Okay.
The unwritten rules of baseball, you are right, and I think this is what you're saying, are typically promoted by and adhered to by the crusty old white guy, right? That has been this way forever, and there's certain things you do and you don't know. But it is also adhered to and promoted by, whether out loud or quietly, by probably about half of the 25-year-olds that play the game today that still think, you know, eye for an eye, you better come in high and tight, because if they didn't feel that way, then these things wouldn't happen. You think a guy making $20 million a year is going to listen to his old crusty old white guy manager say, throw at one of your buddies on the opposing team? No. If there was to be a vote, like a private vote in Major League Baseball, trust me, I'd say it's a 50-50 split. It's kind of like our country, that there'd still be people, players, that would still say, yeah, I'm going to throw at you. You come out high and tight on my guy, you hit my guy, I'm going to hit your guy. It's so as indignant as we do get towards people who supposedly don't like fun, it still exists within the game of baseball itself, and not just those running it and those talking about it, but the actual players too. This is not the generation in which we are going to completely promote or will be adhered to the idea of Tim Anderson or Javier Baez or whomever. So it is the players too, believe it or not.
Well, I don't know. I've not seen. I can imagine there are some players who feel that way, and being Mr. Tough Guy when it's really a gutless thing to throw at somebody. I remember more than a generation ago when Jim Riggleman was managing the Cubs in the mid 90s. I was surprised, pleasantly, at his response. We're having this discussion about, do you throw at somebody? Do your pitchers have to know it? Does a manager have to tell them? And he said he made it a point to make sure his pitchers didn't throw at anybody, no retaliation.
Good.
I said, really? It seems like you're leaving, you're hanging your players out. And he said, no, I don't want anybody, any of my pitchers throwing at their guys, because I don't want anybody throwing at Rhino and Grace. And that was his point.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to lose them. I don't want anybody throwing at my best players just because that's some dumb thing they're doing. I need these guys, and this is how we're going to win. And that was Riggleman in the mid-90s. And it seemed like a lone voice of logic. Because you don't want your guys to get hit. I mean, we heard Ron Santo tell a bunch of stories about every time Ernie hit a home run, Gibson was going to hit him in the ribs, and it was stupid. It was crazy. It was nuts.
I mean, you remember Joe Maddon's famous quote, and it was a good one, where he said, "We're not going to start the fights, but we're going to finish them," and that's called retaliation. So it's, of course, it exists with managers and with. You know, like I said, with the players too. It's sort of like metrics in baseball. And sometimes people who are way into the fancy numbers and the metrics, they like to condescend to those who are not. But again, the dirty little secret is that most players in baseball still look at batting average, home runs, and RBIs. They still like Chris Bryant still likes having 100 RBIs and 30 home runs and a high batting average, even though those kinds of things have been made less important to a lot of people. So I think people forget to actually, when the criticisms are had about baseball's demographics, those who watch, those who criticize, what the criticisms are, understand that the players are not completely dissimilar to those in a lot of cases.
I know pitchers still love wins.
Great example.
And they have it written into their contract. They have reasons for all this. There's still being bonuses being written into contracts for statistical categories that aren't as valuable as we once thought they were. But the idea of being available, and if your guy's going to get hit, what what chance do you have if you're going to lose somebody important from your lineup because he was drilled in an act of revenge and you guys got close, you started something, and you're going to finish something. Joe Madden's idea that we're just going to finish it is just as stupid. That kind of retaliation is just as stupid. And we were discussing it earlier with your point about Jose Abreu took that pitch near his head, backed away, caught his, collected himself,
Jason
got in the
Adam.
Box.
Yeah.
And then he hit the ball as hard as he possibly could at that moment. There's your revenge.
Right. And he sprinted around the bases. He didn't.
Right. He didn't.
Didn't get cocky or anything.
Didn't milk it. Didn't act it out. No swag there.
But if he hits Jose Abreu, let's say he hits him in the helmet and he's not hurt. You don't think the White Sox are thinking about hitting somebody on the Cubs and that White Sox fans would have been enraged and wanting blood? Of course they would.
Yeah, there's no question they would have wanted blood. There is question whether that's the right thing to go after them or just beat them the rest of the series. So we will discuss that again later on, I'm sure. It seems to come up. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This has been Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.